So this is Ed Stetzer Live, and I'm Ed Stetzer. I'm the Dean of the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. Today's show is actually pre-recorded, so it is probably ironically called Ed Stetzer Live, but nevertheless, that's where we are. And so, well, we have a pretty exciting conversation today that I think you're going to find interesting, and we're going to lean in on some questions that people have and more. Our guest today is Doug Huffman. He's Dr. Doug Huffman serves as the professor of New Testament and Dean of Academic Programs for the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. So yes, he's my colleague. He's the author of several books, currently serves as consultant for The Chosen, and he's a pastor, licensed and ordained minister in the Evangelical Free Church of the America. Now, Doug, we are going to talk some about The Chosen, but I do sometimes like wonder if like if you're just this guy teaching New Testament and loving Jesus, and all of a sudden everybody wants to talk about The Chosen. You've written lots of things, really helpful resources, including a couple books coming out in 2024, Understanding the New Testament Use of the Old Testament, which I must tell you, Doug Huffman, I have questions about. Can't wait for that. Also, The Story of Jesus Continues, a survey of the Acts of the Apostles from Zondervan Academic. But you've also written lots of other resources. We're going to go, if everyone goes to edstetzerlive.com, you can find a link to all of Doug's books, because he is a serious and significant New Testament scholar and, might I add, a key part of the team here at the Talbot School of Theology. So we are going to talk some about The Chosen, but I'm going to throw a couple of questions New Testament-ish around there, because I know that you are a scholar in the New Testament. So, matter of fact, tell us, I mean, what do you teach now at Talbot? What do you teach now?
Well, good morning. Great to be with you. Due to my administrative duties, I really only teach one or two classes each semester. Right now, I've been teaching the Book of Acts, which folds into that forthcoming Acts survey book. And then I'm because of my responsibilities with The Chosen as a script consultant, the film school at Biola has asked me to team teach the faith and film class. So those are the classes that I'm currently involved with.
Well, that's fun. We have a crazy, crazy film program here. The Variety magazine recently listed the top 10 film schools in the U.S. and Biola University is right there, right here in Los Angeles County, and building a new building and lots of good things going on in film. So I love that you're there. Okay, but it's actually your New Testament-ish work that got you engaged at The Chosen. And it wasn't just because, you know, The Chosen is about, you know, Jesus in the New Testament, but you had some connection with, well, you tell us the connection with the leaders here.
Yeah, well, 30 years ago when I first started out teaching at a small school in Minnesota, Dallas Jenkins was one of my students. In fact, I was teaching a Christian thought course, and he was in that particular class. We engaged in discussion about how Christians can influence the culture. He was very interested in film back then, and obviously still now. So it started a long friendship. His wife, Amanda, was one of my students as well. So we've seen them and their romance develop, and now they've been married for over 25 years, 4 kids. Yeah, so I've got a long connection with Dallas. And so it was an easy ask for him and an easy yes for me when he was thinking about doing this show.
Yeah, and he's been on the program. We'll link to his past interview as well. We talked a lot, maybe some of the things we'll talk about here, but also some things that are different. For those of you who don't know, Dallas Jenkins is a film and television director, writer, and film producer, and of course, best known for The Chosen, though I got to say, I like The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, which he talks about his greatest failure, and that led him into The Chosen, but I like that movie. I thought it was fun, but what do I know? All right, so then you serve as a consultant on the script. It's not just you. Tell us about the group and what you do.
Yeah, he has asked 3 of us to be consultants looking at the scripts. There's Father David Guffey, a Roman Catholic priest, Messianic Jewish rabbi, Jason Sobel, and then myself, an evangelical scholar. Yes, it sounds like a joke. A priest, a scholar, and a rabbi enter a TV studio. But we get the scripts. We read through them individually and send back our feedback, and they take those pieces of feedback and adjust the script before filming. And then after filming, they bring the 3 of us back together to discuss the episodes and the significant things going on inside the show. And Dallas is humble enough to say, okay, what did I do incorrectly? What did I get right? What did I get wrong? And there are great conversations around the table. And those roundtable discussions are available on the app, so people can watch.
Yeah, they can go to the Chosen app, and you can actually watch your discussions. And they're pretty interesting to me. Of course, you know, I'm a theology nerd, but a lot of our listeners will be in that space as well. Because, I mean, so what we should say, I guess, that if we find anything we disagree with in the Chosen, we should email you directly and let you know of our disagreements. Is that correct?
No, there are many people that do that, actually.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I imagine that there are. Well, because here's where the challenge is you are adding context or more information or speculative fiction between something that we as Christians believe, what we at Talbot believe, is the inerrant word of God. And so tell us why it's a good thing to you, because obviously you're participating, to add what is speculative fiction between something so sacred as the word of God. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I tell people, maybe this is a blinding glimpse of the obvious, but The Chosen is not the Bible. The Chosen is a TV show. And people are saying, you know, well, you're adding to the Bible. And it's like, no, we're not intending to have you print out the script for the show and make it book number 67 in your Bible. That's not the goal of The Chosen. Recently, I've found myself comparing The Chosen to Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting, The Last Supper. And people really like that work of art. And they look at it and say, oh, look, there's John sitting next to Jesus, just like he's described in the Gospel of John. And oh, there's Judas with the money bag, just like the Bible describes him as being the person who was in charge of the finances for the disciples. And so they find all these biblical connections in that work of art, and they rejoice in that. But then they stand back and they look and go, huh, I didn't know that the Last Supper was held in a upper room that had, you know, medieval architecture. And really, the table was set up on sawhorses, and they all sat on one side of the table. And so then they begin to critique the work of art. And they say, well, it looks like Leonardo's representation of these biblical themes has added to the Bible. But again, it's a work of art. It's not the Bible. Nobody thinks that that painting should be printed out and stuck as book number 67 in the back of their Bibles. You shouldn't do that with The Chosen either. So what they're trying to do, the writers are trying to add plausible backstory. They're trying to move from the written page of Scripture to an audiovisual work of art. And you can't get around filling in the details. Does that make sense? Mm.
It does. It does. And I think it would be consistent if somebody were to object to The Chosen that they would also object to Leonardo's Last Supper. I would also point out to you that Leonardo's Last Supper launched 1,000 conspiracy theories with that extra hand and that knife that's over there and the V shape in the middle. And so maybe your example also kind of leads to, I mean, it does. This kind of stuff riles people up. And I think one of the reasons is you're kind of messing with stuff that maybe they think is better not portrayed, whether it's in Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. And there are some people, you know, particularly maybe people on the more reform side, who hold a theological view about images. You shouldn't have any image that's there. But I guess what you're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong, is that consistency would really make the difference, is that you're just going to have to be consistent about how you hold these images.
Sure. And again, you know, I remind people, maybe with a little too much fun, right? If you find The Chosen offensive as a TV show, you know, you don't have to watch it. And if you get more spiritual fulfillment by watching the news or some other sitcom, then, you know, that's your choice. But that it's not at all the intention of The Chosen to unnecessarily offend our sensitivities. In fact, if people make a good observation about the very first episode of The Chosen, it actually puts a disclaimer on the screen that says, you know, it's based on the true stories of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Backstories and characters and dialogue have been added. We're encouraging you to read the Gospels. As they say, the book is always better than the movie, right? So, and I tell Dallas, when we get these pieces of hate mail, I said, you should actually look at the good side of that. People are going and reading their Bibles, and they're saying, hey, that piece of The Chosen's not in the Bible. Good for you for noticing. We want you to read the Bible. Don't have your devotions with a TV show. So,
yeah, it's good. I think ultimately, one of the things I'm going to ask, and we're going to take a pause for just a second, but one of the things I want to ask is, why do you think it's become so just insanely popular? I mean, people all around the world, and now with the this foundation coming alongside to try to translate into all these languages, and millions and hundreds of millions of people and more. So we're going to continue our conversation with Doug Huffman, who's a New Testament scholar. That one of the many things he does great leadership at Talbot School of Theology, teaches New Testament as well. But he also is a consultant with The Chosen. We're going to continue our conversation with him in just a moment. Hey, we're back. Ed Stetzer Live. I'm Ed Stetzer, your host of this and every Saturday at this time. My guest today is a friend, a colleague. We work together there at the Talbot School of Theology. Doug Huffman's his name. He's a professor of New Testament, and he leads our academic programs there as well. He's got a really wonderful array of books, including two new books coming out as well. Some much more technical as well. For example, he's written a book called Verbal Aspect Theory and the Prohibitions in the Greek New Testament. So that's quite a party. On the other hand, a little less heavy is things like The Handy Guide for New Testament Greek, new books coming out, and more. So I want to encourage you to follow the links at Ed Stetzer Live and pick up some of Doug's content as well. He's quite a thinker and a good brother. Okay, so we were talking about The Chosen. You're serving as a consultant at The Chosen. And there's one of my questions is just, why do you think it's so wildly popular? I mean, I got to confess, you know, I didn't watch it for a long time. And then my wife was watching it. She's all into it. And then, I was like, I'm not, you know, Christian television, Christian movies, it's just not, they have not won me over, Doug Huffman. They have not won me over. So finally, I'm talking to Mark Green, who's the guy from Hobby Lobby, and he asks, he just brings up The Chosen. I said, well, I haven't seen it. And he's like, you need to see it. I'm going to send you DVDs. I'm like, who has DVD? Like, I don't even have a DVD player anymore. But his point was, I'm not going to let you have any excuse not to watch The Chosen. And I watched it, and then I really ended up binge watching it, which I guess is something Dallas said from the beginning. He wanted a show about Jesus people could binge watch. But why is it working, Doug Huffman?
Well, I'd like to answer that question maybe in a couple of different ways. First, why is it that faith-based films are often rather poor quality? I would suggest that there's several reasons for that. One of them is they often just don't have the financial backing. They can't hire the best cast and crew members. They can't rent the best equipment. They don't have access to the best editing suites, all of those things. But a second reason I think faith-based films sometimes fail is because they're so concerned to explain the story that it affects the storytelling. They try to explain the story inside the story, and that falls flat. Even Jesus told parables that he didn't explain while he was telling the parable. And I think The Chosen is focused on really good storytelling and is not as concerned with explaining the story inside the story. On the Chosen app, you have lots of tools to explain the story. The Bible roundtables, we analyze the story outside of the story, but inside the story, they're just focused on telling the really good story. So I think that's one of the things that makes The Chosen really inviting to audiences.
I think it's interesting too. I think that the resources that are available around the chosen, I don't think it's, I mean, I know that most people aren't aware of those. I mean, everyone sort of has some level awareness. Probably most of our audience has a level awareness of the chosen, but they don't know you're having like theological discussions and other resources around that. So I encourage everyone to pick up the chosen app. I think that would be helpful for you to do. I'm interested, like your particular role, you're a New Testament scholar. And then there's a Catholic priest and a Messianic rabbi. A Messianic rabbi would be a Christian follower of Jesus who's a rabbi. And so that's an interesting mix right there. I'm kind of wondering what that's like, and what do those sessions sort of feel like and sound like?
Yeah, the three of us get along really, really well. Even when we differ on our Christian traditions, and you can see some of those differences taking place in those roundtable discussions. But we, each of us brings sort of our area of expertise to help with the storytelling. So as a New Testament scholar, I'm very oriented toward the text of the New Testament, the Gospels for the Chosen and the story of Jesus. I'm also very interested in the first century historical setting and the background. Dallas will tell you that I'm the guy, the consultant who complains about the distance between cities, and sometimes they have a plot line in the story that a person travels from this city to that city and back again, and they do it in a matter of 2 days, and it's like Dallas, that would take a week to do that trip, and so I'm the guy that reminds them of those sorts of things. Jason Sobel, our Jewish rabbi, is very interested in the culture. And so he's got lots of suggestions for the show on the representation of Jewish culture. And then Father David Guffey, he brings a lot of church history and a sense of theological import to the discussion and how things are displayed and the potential symbolic representations going on in the show and the ripple effect that has for the church today. So each of us brings a little something to those analysis of the story.
Fascinating. Of course, David Guffey, he's been involved in areas of theater and more, so that certainly makes some sense there. But it does also kind of talk to, like, what kind of show is this event, Christianly? You know, is this is this an evangelical show? Is this a Christian show? And the one question I want to ask after that to follow up with it, where does Mormonism fit into these conversations? Before we get to that, let's talk some first about, so how does Dallas and how do you describe this? Is this a Christian show?
The Chosen as a television company, it's a limited liability corporation, so LLC. It's not a ministry, much less a church. It's not a
503.
It's a business. They're doing a TV show. I would describe it as a TV show with a mission. It's not a mission in and of itself, but he has a mission for this TV show, and that mission is to get the people to read their Bibles because Jesus is an important figure that they should be interacting with. So that is a missionary goal, I suppose you could say, for this TV show. And Dallas, as an evangelical Christian, is, you know, pretty upfront about his ministry in that sense. He actually has that ministry inside the show because as a regular old TV show, he's got cast and crew members that are not believers at all. Because they're just professional workers. And so I pray for Dallas and his ministry inside the show. I think that's important. One of the things, I guess maybe the second big thing that makes the show so popular with so many viewers is not just that it tells the story well, but it tells the story in a relatable fashion. Dallas's desire to get people to read their Bibles includes the desire to get them to read their Bibles with a proper imagination. We're 2,000 years, approximately after the writing of the New Testament, and the original readers and hearers of the New Testament itself, they would have had the bright pictures in their heads about what's being described on the page. And so the Chosen is just a manner to excite people's imagination for them to read it correctly, rather than to have these flat figures on the page to remember, oh, yeah, that's right. Peter was a real person. And we know from the New Testament that he was married. The New Testament actually doesn't mention his wife. It mentions his mother-in-law. And usually a spouse comes with a mother-in-law. So what was it like for a married person to be a follower of Jesus? And the TV show tries to portray a little bit of that. And I think that's one of the things that makes the show popular is viewers go, oh, I'm a married person. I've never read about that passage in the New Testament with that sense of imagination, but maybe I should. So I think that is what's drawing people in. Rather than be overly explanatory, the show is trying to tell the story with a proper sense of imagination, and people are starting to see that, oh, Jesus does apply to my life as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's also, I mean, that's the thing. I think you're right. One of the reasons it's so popular. It's also one of the reasons why people, maybe particularly theologically driven people, sometimes have concerns. I'll give you an example. So I think I should say to you, I'm raising these issues, and you know that I've binge watched it, and I've been a fan, and we've actually gone to the set together there in Texas and filmed some content there. We'll link that over at edstetzerlive.com. But at the same time, like when I read the New Testament now, having watched The Chosen, and really having someone in my family who's on the autism spectrum, like it makes sense to me that Matthew was on the spectrum. And I feel like I'm spoiler alerting people, but you find this out like in the first episode or two. So
that's right.
I think it's a powerful part of it because I think also Dallas has shared his own, autism spectrum diagnosis as well. So you have here something that I think is a powerful, it's plausible, it's powerful, it's impactful. Yet now when I read the Bible, I see when I'm reading Matthew, I'm like, oh yeah, maybe he would react that way. And part of it is I'm carrying it over from what I saw in The Chosen. So that's where I think people worry that, because the Bible doesn't ever say that, and reading into that is an extra biblical reading in that could influence our reading of the biblical text. So, I mean, how would you respond to that?
Well, you're right. The Bible does not say that Matthew was on the spectrum, but notice that it doesn't say he wasn't on the spectrum. Sure. So, is that an incorrect assumption, or is it just an imaginative way to look at the text in a plausible manner? I think we probably need to be a little bit more honest. Those people that say they actually have no picture of Jesus in their head when they're reading the Gospels, I'm tempted to call them a liar. They've got some picture in their head, and I'm not so sure that having a picture in their head is a good goal to say, I want to avoid that. Again, a proper sense of imagination. We have a positive respect for art. The Bible itself shows that God's in favor of some artistic representations. Indeed, one of the big Ten Commandments, right? No representations of God. But it's God who sent Jesus in the human form, and to say that nobody saw him in that human form is actually against what the text says. It says that they did see and recognize Jesus. So for us to have a representation of him, yeah, it shouldn't be blown out of proportion, but we can say that about most things should not be blown out of proportion. But is it wrong to have a representation of Jesus and the first his first followers? I would say it might be wrong for you to say that we absolutely can't.
Okay. So, and again, we would see art throughout history portraying those things. So certainly that's the case. We're going to take a quick pause for just a second. I want to come back. I want to talk some about the question in and around the Mormon question, because this has been something like if I Google right now And I typed in, is Dallas Jenkins, the first question that comes up is Mormon. And so we're gonna talk about that. Now, I've known Dallas Jenkins for years. You've known Dallas Jenkins for years, but it is a common question. And there's a reason, there's some connections and history that will help us understand why that's the case. And we'll talk some about that. So you want to stay with us. Again, you're listening to Ed Stetzer Live. My guest is Doug Huffman, author of many books in and around the New Testament, including two of them coming out in 2024. I want to encourage you to grab a hold of those as well. If you click through to Ed Stetzer Live, it's edstetzerlive.com. You can actually click through and find the bio there, find Doug Huffman's bio there, which also lists all his books and all his resources. So I want to encourage you to stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation about The Chosen, which has become this worldwide phenomenon. And we'll talk some, too, about what it looks like to translate this into so many different languages and why they're doing all these things as well. So stay with us. You're listening to Ed Stetzer Live here on Moody Radio. Moody Radio is a ministry of Moody Bible Institute, and we're going to continue our conversation with Doug Huffman, a New Testament scholar and advisor to The Chosen, in just a minute. Okay, we're back. Ed Stetzer Live. Just a minute ago, I kind of told you we were going to talk some about Mormonism, or as now they prefer to call Latter-day Saints, and The Chosen. And I think it's an important conversation because every time I, you know, post something about The Chosen and, you know, I've watched it, I've shared it with people, someone will say something, but it's Mormon, or some, you know, post it on social media. You know, they can't put it on social media if it's not true. So how do we address this? What does this look like? Okay. So let's talk first about why this matters. So Mormonism is a distinct religion separate from Christianity. It has a different view of who Jesus is. We refer to Jesus, but the Jesus they describe is not the Jesus of Scripture, and lots of distinctions we could go through. This is not a show on Mormonism. So, but when you read the New Testament, Mormons would read the descriptions of the New Testament, and you know, just as Christians would, and say this is what happened in the Gospels. So, thus them being drawn to a show that depicts some of these gospel things would not surprise us. Again, it's who, or if you maybe what Jesus is, as there's never been a time when God has not been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not God the Son, is not a created being, but again, we believe in the biblical teaching of the Trinity and more. So, but there are some connections here that related to, well, why don't you explain them? Because it's not just someone just made this up. There are some connections here. So explain them a little bit, and then we'll talk about what it means for the show.
Sure. As a television show, there's several different studio production companies and studios involved in making the TV show The Chosen. And one of those studios you see at the beginning of the credits is called Angel Studios. Angel Studios formerly was called Vid Angel, if you're into television history. Vid Angel was famous for providing viewers the opportunity to watch movies and TV shows in a way that allowed them to skip objectionable content. It got rid of
it bleeped
profanity.
Out the bad stuff is what it did.
Yeah.
So a lot of us had it, and then there was a lawsuit. It's still back now, but yeah. People don't realize that Vid Angel became the production. Well, you keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, that wonderful family-oriented service, they became Angel Studios and wanted to back original shows. And The Chosen was one of those shows. The Angel Studios is owned and operated by people who come from a Latter-day Saints background. As you mentioned, formerly we knew them as Mormons. But the company, as far as I know, is not owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Right. Saints. It's just owned and operated by people of that particular faith. And it's one of the professional production companies associated with The Chosen. I mean, they use, you know, craft services that are owned and operated by non-Christians, and, you know, travel services, and they rent cameras from other non-Christians. You know, it's in the TV business, they're doing business with lots of of people from different faith backgrounds. They fly, you know, when Dallas flies, he flies on American Airlines or Delta or Southwest. Whether or not those companies are owned by Christians doesn't really matter. They're looking for the profession that's being needed, not the profession of faith.
Well, for the record, Alaska Airlines is owned by Christians, so you could fly Alaska Airlines.
You could if they flew to all the places you wanted to go. Yeah, right.
That's true. That's, I'm just saying, you can only drink milk from a Christian cow too. But it is an important decision. And the way you described, you know, you talked about using non-Christian things. And Mormons, Latter-day Saints people now, just in the last few years, have started using the word Christian to describe and define themselves, which I don't think it's helpful. I think the historic view where they saw themselves as something distinct and different made it more clear that Mormonism isn't Christianity and Christianity isn't Mormonism. But the connection to that company has sort of stuck around. So are there Mormon influences in the script and in the resources that are there? You're a consultant to that. Have you ever seen that? Do you discuss those things?
I think it is informative that the Chosen has three script consultants, a Roman Catholic priest, a Messianic Jewish rabbi, and an evangelical New Testament scholar. We're consultants, and we're all from historic Christianity. There's no Latter-day Saints script consultants that I'm aware of. So there are people from a Mormon background, LDS faith, that work for the company. Like I said, but it's a TV company, and they
hire it's not a distinctly religious company. It's a production company.
Advisors.
Right. So the advisors are all from the great tradition, historic Christian traditions, Dallas evangelical as well. There was this one place that got all the attention when Jesus said, "I am the law and the prophets," and which is, some people pointed to this connection to something similar in a Mormon scriptural text. But to me, it seemed like that just be a normal thing that, I mean, that's pretty common. So I'm sure you remember that. Did you talk about that in any of your roundtables?
Oh, yeah. That blew up in the trailers for season 3, which interesting to me is when the actual episode came out and people saw it in context, the controversy went away.
It did.
I actually have the Book of Mormon on my shelf here at home, and I pulled.
You're going to start a rumor with this. I really wish you hadn't said that live on radio. But
we have
our neighbors. We have lovely Mormon neighbors as well. But I also have lovely secular neighbors. I have lovely Muslim neighbors. I want all people to know the true Jesus of the Bible. Anyway, you have Book of Mormon there. You were saying.
Yeah, so I looked up the passage in question, and I read the passage in 3 Nephi, I thought, wow, this is actually very similar to what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, that Jesus is the end of the law. Even in its own context in 3 Nephi, what the character of Jesus in that particular episode saying, "I am the law of Moses," was not actually from that passage in 3 Nephi, and reading the passage in 3 Nephi sounded a lot more like Paul in Romans 10. I thought, yeah, this is going to go away as soon as people see this all in context. And sure enough, it's gone away. So
it's gone away for that specific thing, but it's interesting how, and I wish people would be at least aware, and having been aware, be honest. You might dislike The Chosen. I think, for example, certain Presbyterians who have a view of graven images, I totally get it. But I think the consistency would be, don't also look at Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper. But I would say, let's be honest about what the issues are. There are non-Christians, non-Christians of no religion, non-Christians of other religions, working in the company, and that shows up sometimes. But the content is this, what I hope we would debate and talk through, because it is a dramatic portrayal of in between the biblical text. I think that's, for me, what I would like to see, but it's 2024 and I don't know that people do that as much in 2024 anymore. So the
Mormon controversy thing is not going away anytime soon in itself. That particular episode, that's faded away. But even 2 days ago, I got an email, a text message asking about this. And So I was responding, you know, my church is thinking about showing this, you know, as an opportunity for our church members to come together, but there's some pushback because of the Mormon connection. And yeah, I think the way this is going is we'll always have this conversation as long as the Mormons keep liking the show, long as the Latter-day Saints people are enjoying it. And I have some Latter-day Saints scholar friends who enjoy talking about the show. And I've even seen in a secular scholarly setting probably the most evangelical sounding portrayal of The Chosen coming from a Latter-day Saint scholar, which was fascinating to me because he was being more bold about his faith in Jesus, his particular kind of faith in Jesus, than I have seen some evangelical scholars in those settings regarding their faith. Yeah, there's a great challenge for us.
And my hope is, and just so everyone understands, when you portray, and you know, in this case, add some speculative fiction, portray the New Testament, add speculative fiction between the places in the New Testament, Mormons read, and really anybody who reads the New Testament would recognize the what's going on in addition to some of the speculative fiction. So my hope is for our Mormon friends that they would, or Latter-day Saints friends, that they would indeed watch The Chosen and keep reading. Read through the totality of the New Testament. Read the passages like, in the beginning was, this is John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, to see who that Jesus of the Bible actually is. So again, I'm for people digging deeper and sort of understanding more and taking those next steps as well. So, but I appreciate it. You're always going to have some of those questions. I get it. It's the world in which we live. And I've got a couple more questions for Doug Huffman as well. Doug Huffman is a New Testament scholar, professor at the Talbot School of Theology, and written multiple books, including two coming out this year. We'll link to all of them over at Ed Stetzer Live. We're going to continue our conversation about The Chosen. We're going to demand to know when is it going to be on our live streaming and more. Continue our conversation in just a moment. Hey, we're back at Ed Stetzer Live. Thanks to our team working hard here. Karen Hendren, our producer, Bob Moroz, our engineer, and we're pre-recording this show, so we're not taking your calls today. And I want to point out to you, Doug Huffman's, of course, our guest, that you know, the Mormon question, like I said, would live on, but I was also thinking that I'm actually not in my normal studio in Southern California today. I'm actually at a Marriott hotel, and which is owned by people who are Mormons, and I'm using their internet. So at what point, the question I guess you have to ask is, at what point is, and I would say to you, Christians can differ and disagree on some of those things, but I think being accurate being honest is always a good thing. And I, you know, that'd be a marriage station, people who have questions as well. Okay. So here we are, you know, where you and I went to Midlothian, Texas to the filming set of The Chosen, and I think we actually like released video clips inside the set before we were supposed to, and so people got to see if they follow on social media. Shame on us. We did ask them, but I think they afterwards said, "Oh wait, are you doing it inside the set?" Yeah, we were. So right now though, like I'm used to watching it on the app, and yet we just heard that the release of additional free episodes. Which again, I need to explain why they're free. But first, because that's a key part of what we're talking about here, is why are we not able to see this? Why is this another? Have we been scammed? Have we been tricked? What's going on here, Doug Huffman? Where are my episodes?
Yeah, well, Lionsgate, a film distribution company, has seen to it that season 4 of the show was released in theaters these last couple of months. So basically, there's 8 episodes to season 4. Season 4, episodes 1, 2, 3 were shown as one movie in the theaters, then episodes 4, 5, and 6 as a movie, and then episodes 7 and 8 as a movie in theaters. People that wanted to see them could pay the theater price and go see those on the huge screen. The Chosen was saying, but of course, as always, we'll release season 4 on the Chosen app for free later in March. That's been the goal. Unfortunately, there was some legal snafu of some kind that needs to be solved before they can release the show for free on the app. I don't know all the details of what the legal snafu was, but they're trying to solve that. Even 10 days ago, they were meeting to solve that issue. And hopefully that'll happen shortly. Dallas Jenkins, the creator, director, writer, he is insisting that The Chosen will always be available for free, always and forever. But he notes that free costs a lot. So yeah. He needs to raise the funds to make sure that he can pay the professional cast and crew and all of that sort of stuff. But he always wants it to be for free on the app and streaming services.
Yeah. So stay tuned. But I don't want to give you business advice, but I'm giving you a little business advice, right? Because you're a consultant with them. And I guess I could text Dallas. But, you know, if you do it free, it doesn't work. You gotta pay the bills. So how, those actors, they are getting paid, and those camera crews. And so how is it working? And maybe explain a little bit about the longer term strategy.
Well, they started out by crowdfunding. When they were first considering doing this TV show, and this was just a brief time ago, just 6 years ago, Dallas was on the media staff at his church in the Chicagoland area. In fact, I think it was a church that you were involved with, Ed. And in the Christmas season of 2017, he put together a little imaginative Christmas special called The Shepherd. What might it have been like for a shepherd to be visited by angels on that first Christmas? And it was a little 10-minute short that filmed in a farm in rural Illinois. And after everybody enjoyed it at Christmas, and after the Christmas season was over, he thought, well, I might as well just put it out on social media and see what happens. And it went viral. And that's when the idea was proposed that they turn this imaginative historical fiction motif of telling stories and tell the story of Jesus in that same way. Can you turn that into a TV show? And Dallas's response, of course, was, well, it takes money to run a TV show, and I don't have that kind of money. So they decided to do crowdfunding. Crowdfunding is where you take little bits of money from big number of people, and they all own a piece of the show. So there's, you know, these several thousand people that pitched in their money for that first season that are all owners, if you will, in The Chosen. They actually broke a crowdfunding record. The record was held by Mystery Science Theater 3000. That little TV company had raised a little over $5.7 million, and The Chosen, they were shocked. They got $10.2 million, almost double the record. Yeah. So that's how the first season was funded. And since then, they have allowed people to continue to donate money, a different kind of crowdfunding where rather than ownership, you get opportunities. So the feeding of the 5,000, the huge crowd of extras were people that had donated money to the show,
and
they
invited. That was such a crazy thing. That was so crazy that all the extras there are the people who were the donors. But what a cool idea!
Yeah, and then a couple of years ago, one of the board members from Biola University, where you and I work, he decided, I'm going to start a foundation, a not-for-profit foundation, and our one beneficiary of our foundation is going to be The Chosen, the TV show. And so the Come and See Foundation is raising money now to help complete the TV show. The goal is to have 7 seasons to tell the whole story of the Gospels. And in addition to completing the 7 seasons, the Come and See Foundation is trying to get it translated, either actual dubbing of voices by voice actors and or with subtitles in, no kidding, 600 languages.
That's so crazy.
Goal.
Yeah. And there are more than, you know, depending on who you count, there, you know, there are thousands of languages, and it depends on how you count you know, what dialects are. Right. But if you get 600 languages, you get almost everybody. If you get 10 languages, you get the vast majority of people in the world, because people speak, you know, they might speak Mandarin and their local dialect. They might speak, you know, the local language and English. But 600 is in the heart languages of the vast majority of people in the world. And to make it forever free. So that's some big goals that are really, and I'm looking at the website right now. The website's called Come and See, and we'll link it there as well, and you can find out more information of that's listed there. So we got about a minute left. And so what do you hope, Doug Huffman, people will see and experience when they watch The Chosen?
Well, perhaps the main goal of The Chosen is to get more and more people interested in the real Jesus of the Bible, and to get them to rethink their beliefs so that they go to the Bible and see if their beliefs in Jesus are really correct. And they measure themselves by the Bible, not by the TV show, but by the Bible. And if the Lord uses this popular TV show to get more people into his word and to find Jesus, I think that would be a really good thing.
And that is the passion of Doug Huffman, who serves as a professor of New Testament at Biola University, Tablet School of Theology at Biola University. And I want you to know that, Doug, it's very gracious of you to talk about The Chosen all the time and to do it with me, your dean and your friend. But I know you are a New Testament scholar, and you're contributing editor of such books as God Under Fire, Modern Scholarship Reinvents God, How Then Should We Choose, Three Views of God's Will, Decision Making, all kinds of stuff. And coming soon, again, you can pre-order these if you go to edstetzerlive.com, Understanding the New Testament Use of the Old Testament, which I will tell you has been a question that people have had for 2,000 years. How do these New Testament writers do this? And then also, The Story of Jesus Continues, a survey of the Acts of the Apostles, which you're teaching right now. And people can go actually to Biola University and the Talbot School of Theology and take courses on these things with you online. You don't have to relocate in some cases as well. So thanks for taking the time to listen to Ed Stetzer Live. As I mentioned, we were pre-recorded, so we couldn't take your calls, but we'll be back to your calls next week. And let me encourage you in the meantime to remind you, Ed Stetzer Live is a production of Moody Radio. It's a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. We're thankful for your listening. God bless you. We'll see you next Saturday.